The thing about it is you have to look at your life and then look at the resources that God has given you, and then you can start telling. You have to measure everything. You have to monitor everything. I wrote it down. I added to it today. So in when you're dealing with budgeting, when you're dealing with finances, don't just live your life just without accountability. Amen? A lot of times, it's amazing how much faith we have when we go to the car dealership, when we go to buy that house that we, you know, we pay off in 30 years, right? We have so much faith, right? We're like, man, listen, I can do this. I can do this. You can do that based on your current situation. So whenever I want to move you, remember, this is a year of increase, and I want to move us as a church to a different level of mentality. So how you think about finances is key. I told you last week that money has to do with your emotional makeup. We purchase out of emotion. We have this emotional relationship with money, and until we break up with it, come on, help me somebody. Until we what? We got to have a breakup this year. Amen. And until we release ourselves emotionally, amen, it becomes very hard, very difficult to do things because you're always thinking the worst case scenario. You ever realize how we're always thinking the worst case scenario about money? Like if I do this, then maybe this may go bad, right? Isn't that something? That's an emotional attachment, right? Now, I want to ask you, okay, so let me give you the M's right quick, okay? So you must monitor. You must measure. How do you measure? You measure with a budget. Some of you don't like that word. It's in your head. You know when the bill is due. You kind of, you haven't taken it out of your mind and put it on paper so that you can measure it, so you can monitor it. Okay? And then the next word is manageable. Monitor, measure, manageable. Got to manage it. All right? And then there's another M, meaningful. Whenever there's a purchase, it has to be a meaningful purchase. Amen? And then lastly, my last word, I'm just throw this in here, is to mature. All right? It's amazing we can live our whole life being immature materially. Come on, help me somebody. We can say hallelujah real good. We can claim it, name it, but never get it. Come on, help me somebody. Do you know you don't need a lot of money to be rich, to be wealthy? It's just about using this formula, the M's. Monitoring, measuring, right? So tonight I want to ask a question real quick. What is your greatest struggle with money? Don't have enough of it. Holding on to it. Okay, write that down, somebody. Don't put Sister Sarah's name down. Come on, let's talk a little bit tonight. I want to have this, because here's the thing. I want to know what you need in order for me to help you, right? So holding on to it, okay? What else? Give it to me one more time. Okay, all right, that one, I can't, so saying I'm always getting back. So in other words, spending it on something that's not meaningful, but saying that, oh, I'm getting back, Okay, I got it now. Woo, Lord, that was a hard one for me to understand right there. Okay, all right, come on. Overspending. All right. Okay, eating out when you could be eating. Okay, or should be eating in. Okay, all right. Anybody else? Free spirit. Who got the free spirit in here? Always spending, just free spirited people. Gosh, doggone it, y'all free spirit people. I do not like, I'm the nerd. I am the nerd, okay? So let me just tell you straight up. So in money management, what I teach is you have the nerd and you have the free spirit. If you're married, you got to know who's who. And then you give it to the nerd. The nerd checks the box about everything. Like, this is where it's going. Now, if you have two free spirit people, y'all ain't going nowhere. Y'all need a coach. y'all need some counseling as a coach. Amen. Because, boy, I tell you, all right? Okay, what else? What else? What else? What else comes along with this? Come on. Worry. Being afraid, being scared, okay? Come on. What else? You know what you do because you do it every day. Like in one day, how many times does money come in your mind? Huh? Y'all want to track that next week? Y'all want to track it next? See, so this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about emotionally connected to it. See, when you're not emotionally connected to it, whether you have it or not, doesn't make a difference, right? Because you know you what did Melanie say? You know you're gonna get it back, but you know you're gonna get it back based on what, right? So a lot of times, everything that we're talking about in here is really about habits. Write it down. Poor money habits. Amen? Poor what? Now, last week, we stopped at Luke chapter 16. Let's go there again. Luke chapter 16. So, I want someone to prepare this seed for me. If you could have the perfect situation right now, or not the perfect situation, but a situation that you could dream of right now for you personally as it pertains to not just money, okay, but the kind of life that you want to live. And let me ask this question. Write that down. The kind of life I want to live. Now let me ask this question. Is everything about that life revolves around money? Is everything about that life, okay, requires money? Anybody want to share that dream you got in your mind? Everybody has that thing in their mind. Everybody has a number, and everybody has that dream. Anybody want to share? Willing to share? If that's what you're dreaming of, tell me what you're dreaming of, Faint, little Faint. Huh? Okay. A nice car, nice house. Huh? Financially stable, okay. What does financially stable look like to you? You can get whatever you want and still have money left over. Okay? All right. Nice house, nice car. Buy whatever you want. That's it? Hmm? put God last and say, put church last. No, but that's cool. But keeping God in the mix of everything, right? Okay, keeping God in the mix of everything, right? Okay, so, okay, that's good. Give faith a hand. That's a good. I know people online can't hear it. Anybody else want to let me in on your dream a little bit? Let me know. Okay. Or build you another one, bigger. Uh-huh. Okay, good. That's very good. That's very good. Amen. Travel. All right. Okay, travel. What's your number? 10 million? That's your number? Okay. All right. Right, being able to give and help others. Right. Okay. Anything else? That's it? And travel. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else want to share on that? Come on, y'all. Okay, very good. All right, anybody else? Okay, very good, okay? All right, that's good, that's awesome, right? So if I were to keep going around this room, we'll find out that the things that we dream about, we sometimes put those dreams on pause, or we never fulfill those dreams because one obstacle is standing in our way. And it's money, it's crazy. We don't say it's God, we don't say it's our faith, we just say it's money. And I believe that that's the key thing that we must learn to do is understand that never stop dreaming because you have a lack of resources, right? It does not cost you to dream, amen. Now, implementing those dreams may cost you, but it doesn't cost you, and this is why it's so important for you to never stop dreaming or believing. So those things that you just talked about just now, I want you to put that in your God file. That's what I want you to do. I want you to put that life in your God file. And what I want you to do is I want you to start praying about it. I want you to start praying, God, show me, give me. See, what I found out is that a lot of people fail in the Christian life because they don't use the greatest weapon that they have. What is that? Prayer. Now, if I was just a member of this church, if Friday night, I'll be on my knees here every Friday night seeking God for what I need. Right now I'm asking God for something. Like, I'm really, really praying and asking God for something right now. And listen, every day I'm asking, and every Friday night when I come here, I am praying for that until I see it happen. Push. Pray until something happens. Got to do it. Got to keep doing it, right? Now, I don't want to talk about the elementary things about money management, but biblically, but I want you to understand that you got to make a decision first if you're going to dream. Go to Luke chapter 16. Let's look at verse 10. We stopped there last week, but I didn't get enough time to deal with it. I figure I want to deal with it again. And this is how you can get to your dream. Now, every money decision that you make, you have to ask yourself a question. Will this glorify God? Number one. Number two, will this take away from my dream? Right? So here's the thing. Like, stuff you guys are talking about, you want to travel. You can do that now. You know what I mean? You can do that if you plan it. You could do that with little small moves. Like I said, the envelope system works. Everybody know about the envelope system, right? Give every dollar a name and then spread it out across your envelopes, and before you know it, you're traveling. Got it? You want a bigger house? Start planning it. Make small moves, and then all of a sudden, you follow what I'm saying? You'll start seeing God reveal the plan to you. Huh? Because he will, right? Right. So watch this. Verse 10 says, he who is what? This is the key. I truly believe that this is the key to everything. Now, let's talk about this word faithful real quick. All right? Now, Jesus is talking to the unrighteous steward. This is Jesus talking. Now, I did tell you that Jesus talked more about money than he did about prayer. Did I tell you that? Yeah. You know why? Because Jesus knew that man would love money more than anything else. Some of us believe that money is the answer. I believe money's part of the answer, but it's not the answer. Listen, when Joseph went to the prison, the Bible says, and the Lord was with him. And while in prison, he got promoted. Come on and help me, somebody. When he went from the pit to the palace, when he went to the palace, he got promoted. Everywhere he went, he got promoted. Listen to me. Why is it that wherever he went, he got promoted? He was faithful, but watch this, though. He was faithful, but he used his natural abilities. In other words, he made himself valuable. Oftentimes we go to work and we don't make ourselves valuable. We just doing the job. And not realizing that, man, if I make myself a little bit more valuable, man, watch this, I'm going to get promotion. But he had, watch this, he had He had skills. God has put skills in all of you. This generation right now, they're sitting behind a computer on YouTube and they're making millions of dollars. 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 15-year-olds, and they're making money without even leaving home. Come on, help me now. I'm trying to take you there. Okay, listen, they're taking their skills and they're putting it online and people are actually buying into it. And if you get a billion, if you get a million views, if you get 100,000 views on YouTube, they send you a check. Come on and help me, somebody. So if you want to achieve those dreams, you have to have a plan. But what you have to do is get out of fear. Joseph is in prison. What was it about him that caused them to say, come on here, man, and then now he's over the whole prison? Watch this. He made a move where he says, no, I'm not going to sleep with you. Told Potiphar, no, I'm not going to sin against God. She cried rape. He's on some trumped up charges. Come on and help me, somebody. And now here he is in the prison, watch this, for 2 years. But in those 2 years, what I'm saying to you is this. It doesn't matter where you go, wherever the devil. Listen, I found out something. The devil keeps trying to knock me down. The devil keeps trying to pull me down, discourage me about this church and growing and all this other stuff. But I refuse to give in. Because I know one day the world will know about the Vision Church. With all that stuff going on out there right now, what you say, Sister Eden? We all right, aren't we? We good. With all that mess going on in the world, we good. But check this out. Check this out. Check this out, y'all. Joseph is in prison in a predicament. He didn't do anything wrong, but yet he's dealt a hand that's so terrible, but wherever he is, he don't trip about it. He makes the best of it, and watch this, he maximizes it, the potential that he has and the resources that he has, and watch this, and on top of all of that, he has the favor of God. Can I ask you a question? Do you have the favor of God on your life? Do you have the favor of God on your life? I'm asking you a question. Do you really have the favor of God on your life? Do you even recognize that you have the favor of God on your life? Do you really, really, can you hone in on the fact that you have the favor of God on your life? Your situation may not be perfect. But you know what I believe? It's when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, of being sick and tired, of being sick and tired. But here's the thing, you don't want to wait till then to get frustrated to do something with your life. That's the issue. That's what happens to us at times. We wait till we're at the end of our rope in order to make a move. Oh, I'm just talking to you tonight. I just want to talk to you tonight because saints, I realize I cannot teach you about leveling up. I can take you to levels with money that you've never been before, but until your mentality changes, you can't go there. It's not smokes and mirrors with me. It's about facts. Check it out. It says he who is. Now that word faithful means this. Reliable. Let me ask you a question. You're looking at what you have and you don't think you have into this little check. This is what you say. And I always say this to my class and say to my students, they say, oh, I'm on a fixed income. My question to you, who fixed your income? You're on a fixed income. Who fixed it? Watch this. He says, he who is what? Faithful in what? No, in what? In a what? All right. Your little check. How faithful are you? It's got to hurt. If it don't hurt, that means it ain't a sacrifice. So faithful is like this. I take my money, and I got my envelopes. I got paid on Friday. And I know that I have a system already in place. Listen to me. If my rent is $700, that's low rent. $1,200. Let's just say it depends on where you live in. Same side. $1,200. Let's say your rent is $1,200. Okay? How much money you got to put up every week in that envelope for your rent? Huh? $300. But your check is $674. You ever get that kind of check, a $674 check? $674 check, and you're thinking in your mind, right? You're thinking in your mind, nah, I'm going to wait till the end of the month. Living in the blank, living without a plan. Watch this. Not being faithful in the little. Your check is 677. What did I say? 674. Minus 674. You got $374 left. Now you're thinking to yourself, dang, I got a tithe. Then you say, I can't tithe. Because how am I going to eat? See, this is it. This is it. This is how minute. This is how God detailed God wants us to become. To take every dollar and assign it, give it an assignment. So now I know 674, I know my tithe is going to be $67. So I'm a minus $67. That's if I'm tithing. $374 minus what? Is what? $307. I need gas. No, light bill ain't due yet. See, light bill ain't due, but you got an idea that the light bill's gonna be what? Probably about what? $195 maybe? That's high? Huh? That's high for lights? How much is lights? Huh? How much is light? Oh, Lord. How much is lights, Medina? Just give me a toll number. 110, 125? Okay, get your calculator out right quick. Hurry up. I'm trying to show you about what it means to be faithful over the little. Watch this. Take the 110, divide that by 4. What we got? $36 minus $36 from the 307, because again, that's what I got left. Okay? I know light bill is coming, and that's $37. I put up an envelope. He who is faithful in the what? In the little. Giving you a strategy here. Watch this. So now, what else we got? Gas for the week. Uh-oh, we got phone bill. Ooh, let's talk about phone bill real quick. Gotta have a cell phone. Who on their parents' plan? You paid, but you're on it. Okay. You paid. But for those of you who have a real life, and really doing some stuff. Huh? How much is your phone bill? How much is the phone? $80? $75, $80? 76 divided by 4 is what? No? 19. So I minus $19. See, he was faithful over what? See what I'm saying? I still got $252 right here. I'm still working with this $252. It ain't at zero yet. So don't think I'm out of money. I'm not out of money yet. Come on and help me, somebody. Then what we got? What's next? Okay, you got Netflix, you got Hulu, you got, what else you got? Disney. Good Lord, that's $60 right there. We got to figure out which one got to go. You got internet, $50, right? $60. Divide that by 4, what do we have? How much? Now watch this now. I'm talking about he who is faithful in the what? Now watch, I still got $237 to play with here. Okay, not to play with, but to manage. It's tight. But the reason we don't see it because we try to take a lump sum, one check, and do everything with it. Versus taking the first check, or if you get paid every 2 weeks, or however you get paid. If you get paid once a month, then that's something different too. But the point is, and all I'm doing is showing you, that Jesus says this, and he's talking about money. But the key issue tonight is this. You cannot dream if you're not faithful. And how many believe that God sees you? How do you know God sees you? You got this like feeling, right? You're like, man, shoot, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Somebody's watching. You know what I mean? God sees and God knows, right? But I want you to test this principle for me. He says, I want you to take whatever you got, whatever you make, and I want you to make a deal with God. God, I'm going to be faithful over the little. I'm going to stop speaking death in my life. I can't because I don't have enough. I can't go there because of this. I can't do that because of that. I can't do that. Now remember, your tithe's already out of this. I just showed you something that you didn't see. Your tithe is gone, but you still got $237 left. Oh, come on and help me, somebody. I did. What number you got? Well, no. We ain't put all that in there yet. Huh? Right. Phone bill was what? No. We're dividing it by 4 for this check. So what I'm saying is, instead of doing it all in a lump sum, I'm saying if your check is $674 and you know your phone bill is $60, you take the 60, divide that by 4 weeks, and then every week you put it in an envelope, so by the time the bill come due, you're not stressed out. My math works. For some reason, my math works, and for some reason, God has shown me this principle. I'm telling you, the day I got liberated was the day I stopped worrying. God helped me with my attitude first. That's the first thing. I had a breakup emotionally with money. Because, man, I used to think about it all the time. I used to be like, man, what am I going to do? I get stressed out. My daughter asked, do you get stressed out? I said, nope, don't get stressed about nothing. What are you stressed out for? But watch this. He who is faithful in, he didn't say little. He says what? a very little thing is faithful also. How many want much? Watch the text. He who is unrighteous in very little thing is what? This is not rocket science. When you come to the end of the month and you're broke, it's not because the devil did it. It's not because your money is funny, your change is strange. It's because of your unrighteousness, our unrighteousness in the way we handle it. There's some days we can eat at home. For real. Like, if we look at what we spend on food, if you look at your Cash App, man, if you look at your Zelle, if you look at your debits, you'll find out that you make more money than you know. What we don't want to do in financial freedom and being strapped, you ready? We don't want to deny ourselves now so that we can live like no one else later. Because for some reason, if I deny myself today, I feel like I'm missing out. Oh, I've been those days where we go to the restaurant, I can't do nothing but eat the chips and dip. I showed up to the party, I'm here. And they watching me, you want something? No, I'm good. I'm Pat, a water and lemon, please. Come on and help me, somebody. Water and lemon, please. And I'm dipping. You okay? Oh, I'm fine. You understand what I'm saying? Because what I found out is that God had to teach me. We were so broke. See, this is the thing. We were so broke that we couldn't pay attention to nothing. All we did was worry and worry and worry and worry. Man, listen, for 6 months, eight months, a year? How long? We had a water heater out. The life I live now, listen, I have things and I got home warranty now. Water heater break, I'm not going back there. But the problem with some of us is that we're still living like that because we're not free. We haven't really broken the ceiling yet in our minds to stop thinking like that. Oh, I'm going to put it off till later. The moment something is broke in my house, I'm on it. Used to be, man, I used to worry, stressed out, man, like, man, what am I going to do? So what the Lord showed me is you have to, insurance means something. But assurance is something different. So I have home warranty insurance. Watch this. So when the water heater go out, we've never used our dishwasher. I didn't even know it was broken till the kids left. Now I need dishwasher. When they left, I'm like, shoot, we gotta get this thing here fixed. So we didn't even know if it worked. We didn't know how to work it. So we called the people, $65. They came out, the man fixed it up, they boom. Peace of mind. And I believe a lot of us don't have a peace of mind, because we won't pay for the stuff to give us a peace of mind. We want to fix everything ourselves. I remember trying to be the plumber. There was a big hole in that. The whole 20 years we lived there, there was a big hole in the back of the toilet that never got fixed, because I'm up under there trying to fix the thing and wouldn't call the plumber. Oh, I know about this life. Listen, this is why I believe God brings people to a certain point in life to help other people. Now you say, oh, I'm doing, I'm doing good, but you could do better. Come on, y'all. You could do way better than you're doing now. But I believe it starts here, and I'm honing in on this passage because this one verse tonight, I know it's Bible study, this one verse, because I want you to know, he says, he who is faithful in very little. Look what he says. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use, there's the word, of unrighteous what? Wealth. See? We make money more holier than God. Listen to me. We feel that money is the answer. Jesus is the answer. God, give me the wisdom. Give me the discipline. Give me the understanding. Take these bad habits from me. You know, when I shop, I don't shop all year long. I shop in November and December. That's when I do all my big purchases because, number one, we got Black Friday. We got Prime Day. I buy so much stuff on Prime Day, the Prime truck be like, guys, dog, I might as well just camp out here. Stuff I be looking at, stuff I be wanting, I be like, okay, gratify. Let me delay gratification. That's why they have a list. I put in my list. And by the time I get ready to go buy, I'm like, well, I don't need that. Yeah, that's what I do. I put it in my list. Amazon give you a list. And then if you don't know anything about Woot, you better get hip to Woot. Woot is the discount place for Amazon. Woot, W-O-O-T, Woot, just like that. And you link it up to your Amazon account, and sometimes they send you stuff. The desk we bought, that was $30. It's usually about $120 for that desk. Things like that, you know. So I have a strategy about using unrighteous wealth. He says, look what he says. He says, therefore, if you have not been faithful, watch what Jesus says. I gotta get this in. I got 1 minute. Gosh, Lord, let us get it tonight, Lord. Therefore, if you've been faithful in the use of what? If you have not been faithful in the use of what? Who will what? Maybe that's why you don't have true riches. Because God is watching how you're handling what you have now. Now, true riches, wisdom, favor, come on, somebody, increase. God is saying, I can't trust you with more money if you ain't taking care of a little money. There it is right there. He says, who will entrust the true riches to you? Why did Pharaoh entrust Joseph? Joseph interpreted his dream. He said, we're going to have 7 good years, and we're going to have 7 years of famine, extreme famine. And so while he's interpreting it, he said, hold on a minute. He said, but this is what Joseph said, find someone who can manage, who can store up. He said, well, hold on, I got you. We need a Joseph mentality. Let me tell you how money works. You ready? It works in cycles. There'll be 7 years of up. Pay attention to where you are now. And then all of a sudden, you're going to have 7 years of lean. But in the 7 years of up, what you have to be doing is take 1/5 of that, what you make, and put it up. So that in those years that when life gets tough, the economy works just like that. The Bible is real. And the number 7 is real too. Watch this. Watch this. Why did he entrust it to him? Because in those 7 years, he stored up so much food, so much grain, that now they become the ones who are selling food to the whole world. Because he was faithful in a little. Verse 12 says, and if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is whose. See, and that's the first problem we have when we have money. We think it's ours. It ain't yours. You are just a steward. I want to see God give some of you millions of dollars, billions of dollars. I want to see God give you land. I want to see God give you things that you can take and when you put your, listen, when you put your hands on it, you have that Joseph spirit. Well, it just grows and grows and grows and it multiplies. Am I dreaming here? No, I'm not dreaming. What I'm saying is, until our mentality changes and we become faithful in the little, start with the what? Lord, if you give me 100 today, I'm going to take that 100 and I'm going to manage it so good that you're looking, you're going to be so pleased with me. You know, when I started my business, I started to get small clients. Look, just $1,000 here, $500 there, you know, that kind of stuff. But I was managing it well until I started getting the $10,000. $50,000 clients, and I would take a tenth and I would dedicate it to the church along with my tithes. Those investments have paid off. When you are the word tonight, Lord, let me be faithful. Stop talking down about your money, Tumba. It ain't enough. It's the little that God, people could talk big talk, right? Oh, I can do this. I can do this for you. I can do this for you. I asked a guy in Atlanta. I said, so he's talking about all this stuff he was doing. So tell me which client you work with. He started naming off big names. You know Shell, don't you? Don't you know what Shell? I said, what you mean, Shell? I know what Shell is. But then that told me right there he never worked for Shell. Because he was trying to prove a point. If you're not faithful in the little, leave here tonight. Go home and look at your budget. Do a forecast. Look at where your money's going. I'm talking about those little things. And it will tell you a story. Amen?